Last week we had seen in Igeret Rav Shirai Gaon, we had seen the beginning of a story, a discussion about whether the prayer of Arvit is Rashut or Chova. We had come onto the story because at some point in the story we will see an allusion as to how many students attended the academy of the rabbis, when the Nasi would teach, how many students were present. And once the story is quoted, so we're already seeing the full story. The story is the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, and the story goes as follows. A student walked in before Rabbi Yoshua, and we discussed that Rabbi Yoshua is Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, the blacksmith, and we discussed that he was the one who hosted Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. If you recall, we discussed Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus is, anytime it says Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. And we had discussed the story about how at 27 or something, Rabbi Eliezer had decided he wants to learn Torah, and his father said, why do it? You're old. Go teach your kids. Go get married. You have to work. You don't have to learn Torah at this age. And Rabbi Eliezer ran away, and he came, and Rabbi Yeshua took him in, and he went to Rabbi Nochem ben Zakkai and started learning. And finally, his father came and was so proud of him, he wanted to give him all of his wealth. So we had seen this story already. So now Rabbi Yeshua is a great sage, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, and a student comes before him who will later on be identified as Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the one who compiled the Zohar, otherwise known as Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is this student who comes before Rabbi Yeshua, and he asks him, is the evening prayer obligatory in a minimal level? Is it reshus or is it chova? Is it obligatory in a maximum level? Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answered him, reshut. There's a minimum obligation to pray the evening prayer. Meaning we know that you have to say Shema every night. That's biblical. That's Doraisa. But what about the Shmona Esrei? So Shmona Esrei, he told him that has a minimum level of obligation. Balifnei Rabban Gamliel, he went before the prince, the Nasi, Rabban Gamliel, who we proved last week, Rabban Gamliel was a very, very young Nasi, because we showed on the blackboard that we had Hillel, who reigned as the Nasi 100 years before the destruction. Maybe we'll put it on the board again. Do you have a marker? Okay, so maybe not. We had Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, Gamliel. We have five generations till this Rabban Gamliel. And we have Hillel, who taught Rabbi Nochman ben Zakkai, who taught Rabbi Yoshua, three generations to Rabbi Yoshua. So this Rabbi Yoshua is three generations up. He's from three generations earlier than this Rabban Gamliel. This Rabban Gamliel is a young, young Nasi. He was so young that when it became his turn to be Nasi, they didn't appoint him. He wasn't old enough yet. So he's young, and Rabbi Yeshua is very, very old. Yeah, Ari?
Who did you say was too young?
Rabbi Gamliel, this young Rabbi Gamliel. There was an old Rabbi Gamliel and a young one. His grandfather and him. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't a Nasi. That's what we're going to get to. That's the story. Ari, you just saying? That's what we're going to get to now. That's this story. So this student, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, came before Rabbi Gamliel, the young Nasi, and he asked him, is the evening prayer Rishus or Chova? And he answered him, he said, maximum obligation. The evening Shmon Esrei is Chova. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the student asked, Valo Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lei Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua told me it's the minimum obligation. So Rabbi Gamliel said, wait till those who carry the shield, the warriors who carry shields, enter the Beis Medrash. He was referring to the students of Torah. When the heavy duty students walked in, so the one who asked the question stood up and asked, is the evening prayer minimum obligation or maximum obligation? Rabbi Gamliel ruled, he said, maximum obligation. Rabbi Gamliel said to the sages, is there anyone that disagrees? So Rabbi Yeshua said, no. Rabbi Yeshua himself, who had earlier that evening said that it's minimum obligation. Now when Rabbi Gamliel asks, does anyone disagree? He says, no, no one disagrees. Maximum obligation. Malos, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Malom Shimcha Amuri Rashut, but they quoted you as having said that it's minimum obligation. What's going on here? Amale Yoshua Moder Agrecha. So he said to this old sage, Rabbi Yoshua, he said, stand on your feet. V'yeidu b'cha, and there will be testimony against you. Amad Rabbi Yoshua al-Raglav v'amal. Rabbi Yoshua stood on his feet and said, Il male ani chai v'hu med. If I wouldn't be alive, if I would be, if not for the fact that I'm alive, if I would be alive and he would be dead, yichol achai l'akhish tamid, then I could contradict him. I could say, it's not true. Achshav sh'ani chai v'hu chai, now that we're both standing here living creatures, hech yichol achai l'akhish tachai, how could I contradict him? Tell him the truth. I did tell him it's a minimum obligation. Hayah Rabban Gamliel Yoshev Doresh. Rabban Gamliel was sitting on his throne as the prince. He's teaching. Rabbi Yeshua Omed Al Raglav. And Rabbi Yeshua remained standing. He wasn't given permission to return to his seat. Ad Shirinu Kol Ha'am, till everyone got upset. They said, oh, this old sage is standing on his feet. What's going on here? And people got very upset. And finally, they used to have a human loudspeaker. When the rabbi used to give a speech, he used to whisper it to what was called the Turgman. And this person who had a very loud voice would repeat it to the crowds. So they told this person, this human loudspeaker, they told him, Amod, stop doing your job. We don't want you to announce what Rabbi Gamliel is saying. Vamad, and he stopped giving the speech. Amri, the rabbi said, how long will we let this go on that Rabbi Gamliel is afflicting Rabbi Yoshua? Last year, Rosh Hashanah, witnesses came in and said, we saw the new moon. And the next night, according to what they saw, it didn't make sense that they should see the new moon. So Rabbi Yoshua said, the witnesses are lying. It can't be that last night the moon advanced and this night it retracted. Impossible. We don't make it a new month according to their testimony. Rabbi Gamliel ruled we do make it a new month. So Rabbi Gamliel ruled with the court that Rosh Hashanah was on that day. And Rabbi Yeshua said, no, it's not that day. So Rabbi Yeshua had a problem with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel had a problem with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel sent word to Rabbi Yeshua. He said, on the day that you think that Yom Kippur falls out, 10 days from when you think it's Rosh Hashanah, I want you to come to me carrying your stick and your money belt so that everyone will see that you're giving in to the ruling of the court. Rabbi Yeshua didn't know what to do. Finally, one of his students came across him. He saw him upset. He told him, I could prove to you that he's right, that you have to listen to Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel is the head of the court, and if the court ruled that this is when the new month is, that's when we go by. So Rabbi Yeshua did that. Rabbi Yeshua took his money belt and his stick on the day that he thought was supposed to be Yom Kippur, and he walked to Rabbi Gamliel's house. And when he walked into Rabbi Gamliel's house, Rabbi Gamliel stood up and kissed him on his forehead. He said, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori. Welcome my Rebbe and my student. My Rebbe, because you're much smarter than me. And my student, because you accepted my ruling. So that's one time that there was a run in between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Last year on Rosh Hashanah, the people said, B'bchorot Masid Rabbi Tzadok Tzari Kiacha. There was another story regarding a firstborn cattle, where again there was a disagreement, and Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua stand on his feet, and he kept giving the speech, and Rabbi Yeshua was standing. Now again, he wants to do this, to have him stand while he gives the speech. Let's remove him from being the prince. And they decided, that's it, Rabbi Gamliel, you don't have our support, you're no longer Nasi. Who should we appoint as the new Nasi? They said, if we appoint Rabbi Yoshua, so that's giving it in too much, Rabbi Gamliel. He's the one that they had the argument. Shouldn't do that. We'll establish Rabbi Akiva, that he should be the new Nasi. So Rabbi Gamliel is going to be upset at what we did. And in heaven, when you have a great sage like Rabbi Gamliel upset, so they might punish whoever is appointed as Nasi in his place. And Rabbi Akiva doesn't have good lineage. He comes from Gerim. Rabbi Akiva, his father was a Ger, or his grandfather was a Ger. So they said he doesn't have enough power up in heaven from his father and grandfather and great-grandfather to protect him. In case Rabbi Gamliel gets upset at him, they might punish him from heaven. So who should we appoint? will establish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because he's a wise man, he's a wise sage, he's wealthy, and he's 10 generations from Ezra, the one who began who headed the men of the great assembly in the beginning of the second temple. So if he's smart, if anyone asks him a question, he'll be able to answer them. He's wealthy. If we have to go to the Caesar, he could represent us. He knows how to deal with nobility. And he's 10 generations to Ezra, that if Ram Gamliel gets upset at him in heavens, his lineage will protect him.
What? Sorry, what was
Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So they asked Rabbi Elazar, they said, are you willing to be Nasi? So he said, I have to go ask my wife. So he went to ask his wife, and she told him, look at what they did to your predecessor. You'll become Nasi. They'll get upset at you. They'll bump you too. Why should you take it? So he told her, do you say we shouldn't buy crystal because crystal breaks easily? You buy fine china, fine glass, even though everyone knows that when you buy such fine glass, it ultimately breaks. So too here, so long as it lasts, it lasts. That's what they're offering me. We should take it. So she said, yeah, but you're a young guy. Your beard isn't white. How could you sit as the Nasi? You're heading everyone. And you have a young beard. Everyone sees you're young. So he was 18 years old at that time. And that night, he grew 18 white hairs. Long strands of white hairs grew into his beard. So that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, that's what you mentioned before, I'm as though I was 70 years old today. He wasn't really 70. But he was saying, I was given this position and my beard became white as though I was 70 years old. Yeah?
Two questions. One, wasn't Rabbi Gamliel really young too?
Rabbi Gamliel was young. Well, this was his wife's claim. We see it didn't seem to bother him. But we do see he valued her opinion. Yeah?
How is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai allowed to do what he did? He goes from, he asks one rabbi a question, gets the halacha, and then goes immediately after to another rabbi, asks him the same question, and he gets a different opinion.
Very good question. That deserves a class in Nantetza. You're right. The Gemara says if you ask a rabbi a question and he gives you one ruling, you can't ask another rabbi. So how did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai do this? It's a good question, but time doesn't allow us to get into that. If you remind me, though, we should have a class on this, and maybe even next week, instead of moving forward, we'll focus on this question. Yeah? Okay. So, on that day, there were many changes. Rabbi Gamliel used to say that any student that isn't so perfect in his traits and his learning that his inside are like his outside shouldn't enter the Beis Medrash. And when Rav Elazar ben Azariah became Nasi, he said, we let everyone in. Anyone who wants to learn Torah could enter the Beis Medrash. We don't check, have you perfected yourself yet? Anyone who wants to could walk in. And on that day, we have a whole Masechta that was established on that day, because so many people entered the Beis Medrash, they said free for all, whoever wants can enter. The whole tractate of Eduyos, testimonies, was said on that day or during that period, because so many people entered that any question they had someone, they remembered testimony from way back when, and they could find an answer. So the whole tractate of Eduyos was said during this period. And just one second, so the Gemara says that they had to add benches to the Beis Medrash. How many benches did they add? Two opinions. One opinion says they had to add 400 benches. Another opinion says they had to add 700 benches. And this is the part which Rav Shira Gaon is quoting. He's saying, you see how many benches were added on that day? Are there 400 or 700 benches? So he says, this gives us an inkling of how many benches were there to begin with. And if you're adding 400, so there were probably 1,000 to begin with, or who knows how many. These are benches. Yeah, Michael.
We assume that before this Rav Eliezer became the Nazi, that only learned people will study Torah.
It's not a question of study Torah, but we're allowed to enter this great Beis Medrash. Meaning, you had other places to learn, but to enter this great academy of Rabbi Gamliel, where the Nasi was sitting and all the great sages were sitting, that wasn't permitted until Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became Nasi.
Because I think the reason they said was because the people who learn Torah for the wrong reason shouldn't be learning Torah.
People have to be on a certain level in order to learn Torah. The Rav Elazar ben Azariah also agreed that people have to be on that level. His disagreement with Rabbi Gamliel was, when someone walks in and says, I want to learn Torah, do I say, come in, and unless he proves himself otherwise, I assume him to be a good person, or do I say, wait, we're going to do a background check, we're going to check where you're holding, are you fit into this academy? So Rabbi Gamliel said, anyone that wanted to walk in had to go through a background check. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah said, if you want to come in, you come in. If you end up showing us that you don't fit to be in this academy, then we'll have to ask you to leave. But we don't have guards at the entrance checking each person out. That was the difference in approach. But they both agreed that a student who's a swindler, a student who's a thief, a student who does improper things shouldn't be there in that academy.
Because what I read about the story was that the reason was the wrong intention of what they had when they were studying Torah. If they had the wrong intention, they shouldn't be allowed to go into that lesson.
I don't know. I don't remember that chat, but what I'm
saying. Al-Azhar said that the right intention will eventually come to let them study Torah even for the wrong reasons. Even if it was for the wrong intention, let them start studying Torah and eventually they'll get the right intention.
I hear. Okay. Rabbi Gamliel.
The question comes down to, they only let people with great studies.
That's what I'm saying. That there were other places to learn. This was the great academy. Doesn't mean that people couldn't go and learn on their own. There was no place to learn. You want to attend this the Beis Medrash where you have the Nasi. That's like saying I want to attend Rav Eliashiv's shir. I want to go. Rav Eliashiv's saying shir, so I want to go. So everyone's going to discuss the halacha there, and the greatest decisions for the Jewish people will come out of that Beis Medrash. I want to be a part of that. So it makes sense that we say, wait a second, are you fit to be a part of that? Yaakov, you want something?
I think
so.
Rav Goldenberg was like giving some other Rav class, and basically the thing he said was that like if someone would enter a class of Rav, but like he was like a Baal Teshuva, he didn't yet, maybe like he didn't have good traits, like Rav Goldenberg would say, you can't be in the yeshiva yet, but you can live in my home, and some people who would do that, and after a while he was sure that they were going to learn Torah because they really wanted to learn Torah, and they weren't bad people, and then they'd be let into the yeshiva.
Okay, so Rav Gamliel himself also joined the Beis Medrash. He didn't stay out of the Beis Medrash. We have quotes that there were discussions going on that day. Now, when Rav Gamliel came to apologize to Rabbi Yoshua, he walked into his house and saw his walls were all black. So he said, from the walls of your house, we can recognize that you're a blacksmith. The walls of your house are black. Rabbi Yeshua told him, he said to him, woe to the generation that you're the one who's supporting it, that you're the leader. You don't understand how difficult it is for Talmidei Chachamim, how they have to try to get Parnasa at the same time that they're learning, and how they feed themselves. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, I wasn't proper in my behavior to you. I want you to forgive me. So Rabbi Yeshua didn't react. And Gamliel said, do it out of the honor for my father. Do it out of respect for my father. Please forgive me. So he forgave him. So they said, who's going to go and tell the rabbis that we've appeased, that Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated? So there was a man over there who was a launderer, used to do laundry. He said, I'll go. So Rabbi Yeshua sent word to the Beis Medrash. He said, the one who's accustomed to wearing the cloak should wear the cloak, and the one who never used to wear the cloak, who's he to tell the one who always wore the cloak, you don't wear your cloak and I'll wear it. So Rabbi Akiva said to the rabbis, he said, seal the doors. Don't let Rabbi Gamliel's messengers come, because he might send his servants to punish all of us for what we did to him. So Rabbi Yeshua said, this isn't going to work unless I go myself. So he went and knocked on the door and he said, the one who used to sprinkle the ashes of the heifer, meaning the one who was coined Gadol, the high priest, he wasn't really a priest, he was from the house of David, and his father used to sprinkle, he's the one that should be sprinkling. And he shouldn't have a person who he himself doesn't sprinkle and his father didn't sprinkle, telling the one who is a sprinkler, who's the son of a sprinkler, telling him, your ashes are worthless. Meaning, this new Nasi that you appointed, he's not a Nasi, he's not the son of a Nasi. Who's he to tell one who is a Nasi, the son of a Nasi, that he shouldn't be the Nasi? In other words, Rabbi Shua was saying, we do need Rabbi Gamliel to head the show here. So Rabbi Akiva told him, he said to him, we did it, if you're willing to forgive him, we did it out of your honor. So tomorrow you and I will go to his house and we'll reestablish him. But they said, how could we do it? Once we brought Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah up, we can't knock him back down again. So what they did is they said, Rabbi Gamliel is going to give the speech 3 weeks and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the fourth week. That's why the Gemara sometimes says, Shabbos shil mi, whose week was it? Who was running the show? Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? And that's how they had it, that Rabbi Gamliel was the one that was really running the show. He, 3 weeks out of the four, he was giving the major speech. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave it 1 week out of the four. So Rav Shira Gaon brought this story to illustrate how many people were learning in their base midrash at the time. And what he's saying is that this was a period when the rabbis had relative tranquility, that they could sit down and learn together. And that's why we see that the whole tractate of Eduyos, things were clarified in this generation. Next week, we're going to discuss in Yitz Hashem, Rabbi Akiva. We encountered Rabbi Akiva here. The next line that Rav Shira Gaon introduces us to is the fact that Rabbi Akiva was murdered, and next week we're going to discuss the murder of Rabbi Akiva and Asara Hugei Malchut, then rabbis who were killed by the Roman Empire. We learned the halachos on Friday that in